Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and who is with me here?
Charlene McNeil.
Hi, Charlene.
Hi.
Before we get started on today's program, I wanted to read a paragraph from a book called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Well, there was something that I found in here that I really do believe explains the work that we do. And this is a channeled work that Claire Hartsong received. And the person who is doing the speaking, of course, is Yeshua's grandmother, Anna. And she's talking here about a relative by the name of Benjamin. And Benjamin was born with a club foot. He shook with palsy. He had a lot of physical problems. And Anna is telling the story about one time Benjamin, they slept on the roofs a lot of times because it was hot. And she talks about Benjamin sleeping on a cot on the roof, just watching the stars. And Yeshua goes up to keep Benjamin company. And he lies down next to Benjamin, and Yeshua holds Benjamin's crippled hands. And the two of them are lying there, gazing out into the starlit night. And as they are lying there watching the moon and the stars, Benjamin's breath begins to soften and deepen. As his mind stilled, his book of life opened to his inner sight, he witnessed many lifetimes passing before him with all the errors for which he had not forgiven himself. He saw how he had shaken tight fists, had kicked and thrown himself at perceived enemies, cursing them to hell. He observed all manners of familiar patterns that he still repeated over and over, even though his intent was to be harmless and of service to his fellow beings. More than anything, he began to understand why his soul had chosen to heal itself through a body that shook and walked with crippled limbs. As the night wore on, punctuated with Benjamin's deep sighing and suppressed sobbing, Yeshua gently placed his arms around the boy's slender body, laying his right hand over the boy's heart. Silently, their consciousness joined as they traveled through the astral planes, gradually lifting burdens of guilt and shame. Set free, Benjamin spiraled upward into the higher dimensions and greater light. They enjoyed a wordless celestial peace as they lay cradled together beneath the witnessing stars and smiling moon. Tears fell from their eyes as they turned to face each other. Benjamin's body no longer shook with palsy. He lifted his hands to look at them in the moonlight. They were no longer twisted. He stood and took a measured step or two. His club foot and twisted legs were straight, and he could support his full weight. I found that to be such a beautiful story, Charlene.
Yeah, I do too.
And I wanted to read it, but I also wanted to talk about a couple of the statements that is made in here, because on the at first glance in the reading, it is a beautiful story of Yeshua working with his relative to cure his problems. But there's words behind some of these words. There are really principles that I wanted to talk about. First of all, it says here, Benjamin's breath began to soften and deepen as his mind stilled, his book of life opened to his inner sight. And you see what that is really saying is that Benjamin relaxed. He's moving through the state of alpha. He eventually perhaps even walks into the state of theta.
Right.
His book of life opens. This is his Akashic records. He is peering into his many lifetimes. And what he sees is he had a lot of errors that he committed during his lifetime, and he had not forgiven himself.
I think that is very profound. It's the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. It's the forgiveness.
So
not
he
letting,
had...
Not letting go and being so judgmental of yourself that you haven't let go of it.
I think so. And then the story goes on to say how Yeshua places his arms around the boy's shoulders, puts his hand over his heart, and the two of them join as they travel through the astral planes, gradually lifting burdens of guilt and shame. Set free, Benjamin spiraled upwards in the upper dimensions, where they find this celestial peace. And he looks down at his body and he sees that it's no longer twisted. I love that story because, and I wanted to read it because I really felt like this was speaking to my heart. This is what we do on the radio show. We're not really lying on the roof back in Jerusalem or in that area of the Middle East. But the same principles are going on right now. And what I see happening is through many of our lifetimes, sometimes we incarnated into the same family DNA. There were attitudes that were collected that were negative. They either, well, in Benjamin's case, they're talking about, you know, anger, cursing, hatred. We have many of these things in our past, and now is the time when we are clearing these things. And so I thought it was very profound. We don't have a Yeshua lying next to us, so to speak, but when you do call in for a healing or you call in to make a change in your life, we're basically, as I see it, doing the same thing. The pattern is there. And what that means is we are certainly working in God's energy, in the quantum field, going into that level of consciousness where, working with God, these things can be lifted. And in that lifting, whether it is guilt or whether it is hatred or some other kind of negative problem, all of that is released, and the body moves back towards its perfection. So I thought it was a perfect story to read, Charlene.
No, I thought it was great.
Yes.
Because basically that's what I'm finding, that right now, in the years that I've done this, I've never seen God go in and do so much work to clear an individual's past life so much. I mean, sometimes it's almost, he takes that whole time just to clear that and the DNA. And it just seems like it's so profound that it's, that right now it's wanting to be cleared. Most of it is, I think, that most of us are in a state now of ascension that says, I now accept this. In the past, it would have been mythical, but it isn't anymore.
Well, I think you're right on, Charlene, and what I'm hearing from the Masters at this point in time is the energies that are coming to Earth, and Archangel Michael speaks to this quite frequently, the Eye of Isis is here. It is generating the energy that comes from Source so that this work can be done, and this is the time to release all of this so that we can move to the next higher dimension. And those errors that are created in the dimension in which you live, they must be corrected before you can move to the next higher dimension. And so that's what all this is about. And people, if they haven't cleared these things, the soul is bringing forth the opportunities so that they can be cleared now. And we don't always think of these as opportunities. If we're having problems with finances, with neighbors, with a job, with a physical, we don't look at this as an opportunity, but it really is. What the soul is saying is there is something there that needs to be faced. It is something there that needs to be cleared. It is something there that needs to be healed. And so my friends who are out there listening to my voice, give us a call. Our number here, if you are in the U.S., is toll-free. It is 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, this is a toll-free number also, 888-815-9756. Now, Benjamin had something that was very obvious. You know, he had palsy. He was shaking with palsy. He had crippled limbs. You could not overlook that. But there are people out there today, they might not have palsy, they might not be have crippled limbs like Benjamin did, but you know you have something that has to be cleared. If you have a problem that keeps coming back and doesn't seem to be resolved, there are many people who are having problems with finances right now. They might have a neighbor or a friend that they can't seem to come to some sort of an agreement with and have peace, or even a family member. There might not be peace with a family member. Those things in your life are indications that there is a healing that needs to be done. And apparently we have touched a chord with some listener.
Hello. And
your name, please.
This is Maria.
Maria, darling.
Hi.
Hi, sweetheart.
And you asked me to call today.
Well, I did. Charlene, Maria is the young lady that you might recall she called, what was that, like 4 months ago?
Yes. Well, she called about her son.
No, this is, Maria called about a job, if you recall. She, was calling about a nursing job, and you programmed, something for her, and it was like the next day she found this nursing job.
Oh, okay. I'm with you now.
Okay. Well, things have changed in her life, and Maria, is now looking for a job again.
Okay.
So what were the people doing, basically downsizing or the job disappeared? What happened with that, Maria?
He was just a bunch of coincidences, you know, and it just didn't work. It came out of nowhere, so I think it's part of clearing because it was like, you know, not expected.
Well, it certainly wasn't home. Because you weren't doing the right thing. Maria is a very caring, loving person who would be an excellent individual working in any of the health fields.
Facilities.
Yeah. And so what we want to do is kind of give her a leg up again, Charlene.
Okay. Okay. Good. Tell me exactly what your perception about what you would choose to have.
I'm a nurse, a marine, and I usually work with people who are mentally ill or addicted to something. I usually end up working with the people nobody wants to bother with, really. And I don't know. I have a lot of love, but I always have a difficulty with the establishment because nowadays everything is fast, fast, fast. You cannot hurry with a person because a person is what is important. You know?
Okay.
Anyway.
Shirley,
so,
did you get that? She was talking a little low for me to figure it out. Did you understand what she said?
Well, not all of it.
Okay,
not being transmissory is really good.
Usually my problems have to do with the fact that everything now is fast, 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 paper, paper, paper. But what is important is the person.
Yeah.
You have to give the person the time, you know? And so occasionally it causes a problem for me. But I have somehow managed.
Okay, let's cut this down a little bit in this sense, Maria, is that what happens is you're kind of making out your wish list, so to speak, and Charlene writes this down so that she can program into the quantum field
right.
what you're looking for. So how about, let's talk about a few words here. You're looking for a job where you can use your spiritual nature. So you're looking for an employer who would appreciate your spiritual nature and your desire to work closely with individuals. Would that be correct? Don't want to put
yeah.
words in your mouth.
Usually the kind of patient I work with, what they need is acceptance. They need, you know, positive regard, you know. And that's what I do well. But I need something that will fit in with everything, that will allow me to take care of my family, because they're working very hard and not getting anywhere. And I usually, when I am working, I can eliminate that so that they are able to actually enjoy the fruits of their work, you know.
Maria, you're getting us confused. The hours that you want to work, did you want to work during the day, in the evening?
Yeah, I want to work daytime.
Okay, let's put that in the mix. You want to work daytime.
Because I usually babysit my grandkids in the afternoon.
Okay, you want to work daytime. You want to work with somebody who is going to appreciate your spiritual nature.
Yes, someone that will benefit from what my particular talents are, you know, my abilities.
Now, did you want to work in a nursing home, a hospital, or don't you know?
Well, I told you, my daughter felt very strongly that I should apply again to a job that I had previously and that I had left.
Well,
and,
I felt the same thing.
Tell me what she just said.
Well, I did apply there the other night.
Her daughter, let me catch up Charlene on this, because she's having trouble hearing you. Her daughter suggested that she reapply to a job that she had in the past. And I told her when she spoke to me earlier, I thought that she should also. And now you're filling us in, Charlene. You said you did apply, right?
Yes. Okay.
So what happened with that, or don't you know yet?
Well, I applied online, and it was 1 a.m, not yesterday, the night before. So it's kind of soon yet. But I really need this to happen, or something, anything, to open quickly, because we're almost at the end of the month and I'm running on empty.
Okay.
You know?
Charlene, is this possible? She's applied for a job. Can
right.
we put some energy behind that mm-hmm. that she can
right.
Find some work there?
Yes. But tell me precisely what it is.
What
it
do you mean,
like,
Charlene,
yes,
the job?
Tell her I need to know precisely what it is.
I'm asking you a question, Charlene.
Okay.
Precisely, you mean the employer?
No, I want to know what is she applying for.
Okay, Maria, Charlene's going to put some energy behind this job that you applied for. Can you describe this job to her
right.
so she knows what job you're talking about?
Okay, it's a psychiatric floor in a hospital.
Okay, it's a Catholic floor in a hospital.
Okay.
It's a psych floor.
A psych floor?
Yes.
Okay, Charlene, did you hear that?
Yes,
it's a psych floor
part.
In a Catholic hospital. Sounds
uh-huh.
to me like a good choice.
Yeah,
yes,
that would be spiritual.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Okay, what is the name of the hospital?
Barnett Hospital.
Say it again.
Barnett Hospital. Barnett or Nert.
Okay. I don't think they've decided yet.
No, I know. It's too soon, but the thing is, I'm
I'm getting like right down to the very bare bones here.
Okay, I want you to go check on it. Just call them and say, you know, I've applied for this. How is it going? So that they know you're still interested.
Well, you know, she could do that, but can't we put some energy
on
it?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do both.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're doing both.
Okay, Maria.
You know, I would like to know why am I having this kind of problem?
Let's get to that later, Maria. Let's finish this first thing first.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to go in and do your application. We'll put a positive energy on the application. Then what we've got to do is clear any of the negative energy that you have out there, whether it's in your past life or in your ancestral line,
yes,
that is sabotaging you maintaining a job.
Yes.
Okay? So let's do the one first. Okay, just a minute.
What's happening now, Maria, is Charlene is going into Theta right now, working on what we asked her to work with. But in your life, I think what is happening is there is fear, which is natural. You've got some fear associated around this because you're coming down to the end of the month. You've made this application, and so there is fear around this because what you're sensing or feeling, I believe, is if you don't get this job, then the end of the month is coming, and where will you be? And my point of view is when you went in to make this application with this job, you had that fear, correct?
Yeah, but I did it because my daughter said she felt strongly that
no, I think you were right in doing it. I think it was a good move, but I'm just saying when you did it, there was some emotional fear surrounding the act.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, and so Charlene is going in and clearing some of these negative energies that was surrounding that.
Okay, now
we've got to go in. Wait a minute, Maria. Let Charlene finish, dear.
Okay, now what I did was go in and with your application, put a God energy on it. So, and then put on there that when they review your application, that they'll have a sense of well-being that comes over them that you would do a marvelous job for them in the hospital. And so there's a positive energy put on your application. And it's a God energy. So that when they read it, they've had this sense of peace and security that you will do a good job for them. And that you will take care of the patients correctly. There's going to be a lot of confidence that comes out of that page. See, a lot of times we write something, but we might have a negative energy when we're writing it. In other words, if you were writing the application and you have a negative thought pattern associated when you're writing it, it is produced on the page.
See, we talked about that, Charlene, that she had some fear surrounding the situation.
Ah, okay.
Because she got it.
That was all cleared off of there.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that was all pulled off.
Oh, that's great.
Any negative.
Well, she has, and I can understand that. She's got to the end of the month. She has finances to the end of the month. She's coming down to the end, so to speak. And so there's some fear there is what's going to happen to her if she doesn't get this job. So you've removed this, the fear, and that's good.
Yeah, remove the fear from the page. Because any time that we write something, we have a vibrational frequency of emotion and a thought pattern. And then that's projected on whatever we're writing. And I've done a lot of classes where I've demonstrated that to people, and it's been amazing to them.
How do you demonstrate that?
Well, I did, like, for instance, let's say that I'm in a class, and I will have somebody go out of the room, and then somebody will write a statement on a piece of paper, and then I'll have, and it, there'll be a negative on one page of the statement, and I'll have them turn the over on another page, not on the back, because it's still the same sheet of paper. Then I'll have them go to the next page, write a positive statement. Then I'll have the individual that's left the room come back in, and I can muscle test them, and every single time they'll pick up the energy that's on the, whether it's a positive or negative, according to what was written on the page. Every time. I've never seen it fail.
Oh, so you did it with muscle testing.
Right, I did the muscle testing. And it's never failed, ever, when I've done it. And it just amazes people that whenever you write something, the energy is on what you're writing.
Okay, let's talk about this a little bit. Suppose, what would a person do, like, let's take Maria for instance. She does an application, she's got some fear surrounding this. What suggestions would you give to a person, like when they sit down and there's fear, how to override that and make an application that had positive energy around it?
Well, part of it is you have to go to the point and recognize that you are the essence of God, Father, and Godmother, or whatever your higher source is, and know that that creative power is within you. It's within you to create whatever is to be. So then you look at the application, let's say with you, Maria, and then what you do is you know that God will help you, or who your higher source is, you said God, that will help you to achieve what you need. One of them is that you've got a lot of negative that's still coming in from a past life. Because
I feel that there's some sort of resistance, and I don't know where it's coming from, but basically what it boils down to is trying to tell me, which of course I totally ignore and I keep going, but it's trying to tell me that, you know, every time you just put yourself in God's hands and try to stop trying to take care of everything and just let things come as they come, and every time you do that, you take a dive. But I think that that's an artificial thing, and I think that's some sort of resistance that I'm facing, and I don't know where it's coming from.
Well, let's have God go in and clear it out of your past life, out of your DNA or morphogenetic field, and also pull it out of your subconscious mind, because it's all there from conception to present time. So you're being reprogrammed over and over again for failure, not for success.
Yes.
And then the energy's in there to create, because we're creatures of creation. And because we are created with that ability to create, we do create our lives. And we don't recognize that we're the creator of what's going on. So what we do is go in and start recreating what we really want. But we have God take it all out first, because it's all a vibrational frequency of sound. So when he takes that all out, then you have to replace it with something, which is a positive. So let's go in and do that for you now. Okay?
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Well, we're doing a makeover here, Maria. Did you understand what she said, dear?
Yeah. I do know that I create everything. I just don't know how. You know, I'm always saying every day, you know, all I want is I want to be of service and do the service I came to do. And I want to let go of anything that would interfere with that. And, but...
Okay, stop. Hold it, dear. I want you to think about what you just said. I want to. Now, when a person says that, you are describing a future event. Mm-hmm. I want to.
Yeah.
And it has to be put into it has to be put into the present, because that is how things work. So instead of saying I want to,
so I am doing the service I came to do, and I am releasing.
Yeah, you can say, I thank you, God, for, and mention whatever it is that you want. So if it's this job, if it is finances, thank you, God, for, and then whatever it is that you want it, or terminology like, I intend to. These are words that put it into the present tense. Now, I have to tell you, Maria, I've been guilty of that myself. And Caroline constantly corrects me, because the words are our power. And if we're sending our power to a future time, a future tense, that's not helping us in the now. So when you say these words, and it's easy to say because we get into a habit, and we use words in this fashion. So when you speak, make an extra attempt at making certain that you are declaring these things in the present, because you don't want these job opportunities in the future. You want them now.
Yeah.
But I have done this myself. And I understand.
It's like as much as I'm clearing, it always seems to be a lot more than needs to be cleared, you know?
What'd you say, dear?
As much as I'm clearing constantly, it seems that there's always more.
Oh, tell me about it. And it's because we've had so many lifetimes.
Oh, yeah, we must have had thousands.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing so much clearing, I feel like there's no end to it.
Yeah. Well, I do it every day. You know.
Maria, she's back, darling.
Let me explain something.
Yes.
Okay, let's say that in this time frame, we've gone in and we've done a lot of work on success. We've released failure, feeling of failure, feeling rejection and abandonment, feeling a sense of loss. Okay, in 15 minutes, let's say that you had, let's say, 43 lifetimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 15 minutes, in that dimension of those types of feelings of wanting to be needed, cared about, nurtured, and loved, and that you do it for yourself by being successful, productive, you will have high energy, high motivation. Others will see you as successful. In 15 minutes, you've cleared 43 lives. You've changed your DNA. You've had your subconscious changed. And you've had your present time from conception to present time cleared in 15 minutes.
Wow. That's what I call flash, right?
And it's kind of interesting because we don't see it at the dimension of what God's doing. And yet we're going in and changing all these lifetime patterns that we've come in to repeat over and over again. Because God told me that you get to do it again. You didn't get it yet. You didn't clear all the things that were necessary. And so sometimes, let's say that this is one area that you're clearing. It's kind of what Carolyn said. She and I are always going in there and we'll say, okay, here's one more little step. But when you think of the dimension of what you're doing each time, then we're saying, well, you know what? I guess it's not. We're doing a lot in a short period of time. So it makes it so you don't have to repeat this life again. you will be living in the ascension, which means you do not repeat it.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Isn't that a great deal, is it not?
Yeah, I am feeling a great deal of energy, like an all-body hug.
An all-body hug?
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I'd go for an all-body hug.
Yeah. You know, I look at it sometimes, and one time I asked God, well, why can't we do it more quickly? And then he said, if you knew how the body, what the body was composed of, you would know that it could not handle having it done all at once. Emotionally, you couldn't handle it either because of the tremendous energy that is being projected through all the cells. You could not handle it all at once. And that's what I was told.
Maria, call us next week, darling.
Okay, I certainly will. And thank you so very much.
Okay, and Maria, tell your angels to put your application on the top of the file.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Say, would you put my application on the top of the pile? And they'll go in there and put it up there for you.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, it is so difficult today when people are looking for a job or they've been laid off. A lot of this is going on right now for one reason or another.
Well, basically,
we got another call coming
in,
sweetheart. And who? Your name, caller.
Hello, dear hearts. It's Rebecca calling. How are you?
Hi, Rebecca.
Let's see. I guess what I want is a little jump start. I am heading in the direction that I know I need to go. I started physically clearing out a lot of stuff out of my house, and it brought up a lot of clearing stuff that now has kind of overwhelmed me in my sleep time. And so when I wake up, I'm in kind of a depressed mode.
Oh.
So
Do you mean, Rebecca, as you're clearing this out of your house, it's bringing up memories from the past that were associated with these items that you got rid of?
Could be. You know, I haven't necessarily made those connections, which I don't know that I have to, but it's going through old pictures, and it's just getting rid of a lot of stuff, so it's triggered ex-husbands in my dreams mom. And
now it's what it is.
Yeah. So anyway, I know what my path is now. And what happened was a job was taken away in November, which was like a wake-up call as to it's not about the job, it's about clearing out these things in your physical world.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, what I've been doing is helping out in an office on a for-trade basis where it's a veterinary office where I get, like, dog care and things like that. But I need to have some income coming in as well. And so, but my ultimate goal is that I know I need to be doing something creative regarding preemie babies.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and I know that's where I need to be. However, to sustain myself getting there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm just tired. And so I kind of know what I need to do. And also it's the end of the month coming up for me. And I know that I'm going to be okay, and I do not need to do one more thing in order for the money to be there. It's this unbelievable calmness that I have already done stuff in the past
mm-hmm.
that's going to manifest for me, whatever that may be. And that's just such a wonderful feeling of, like, creating what I need. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but you know what I'm sensing here, Rebecca, is what's happening here is a little bit deeper than what's on the surface.
Okay.
I think the reason that you have the desire to clear out these old memories is because you're preparing for something much larger.
Yes.
In other words, you've got to clear out the old to allow the energy of the new to come in, and I think you realize that this is what you're preparing yourself for.
Right.
Now, we kind of have the background here. What is your question? What What kind of help are you looking for?
I'm looking for help to regenerate my energies so I can continue the physical clearing out and
still sleep.
You know, I know, too, that I need to go out and actually get a paying job.
What do you suggest, Charlene?
Okay, well, let's do that, but let's have you recognize that whenever anybody wants to get into a different space, what you're doing is very valuable.
Yes.
Because you're clearing out, you're what's called creating a void. In other words, when you take all the negative out, if you haven't used something in 6 months to a year, then, you know, whether you give it away or whether you have, you know, get money for it, which is a person's choice, what you're doing is you're creating a space for the new to come in.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're doing, is you're creating a space for newness.
Yes.
Okay, now, it creating a lot of memories, let's go in and see if God can kind of soften that a little bit for you.
Okay, great.
So it's not quite so profound.
Yeah,
okay?
that would be good. Thank you,
Let's
Charlene.
Have him do it. And I go in and I ask, could you do this in a more gentle way?
Okay.
Okay? Is
okay.
that what you're asking?
Yes, so I can continue to clear
yeah,
the
so
physical.
You can continue doing it,
yeah.
which is important.
Yes.
Okay, let's go in and do that.
Okay.
Rebecca, as you were talking, I myself had this vision. Have you seen these pictures where there is a waterfall and people are standing under the waterfall and it's so beautiful, all this water is gushing around them and do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
I have dreams about that, like actually being back behind the waterfalls. Sometimes, you know, you can actually go back behind and see the water falling in front of you and getting the spray.
Well, what I was seeing when you were talking is that this might be a very beneficial part of your meditation. Instead of just seeing water, not that water isn't beautiful, but see
mm-hmm.
this water as God's white light.
Okay.
And stand there and just see the white light clearing your entire field around your body.
Okay.
Filling it with a vibrancy. And
okay.
see the dark sort of like little dots
mm-hmm.
being flushed away. And as they are being flushed away, your energy field being enlivened with this sparkling, beautiful white light coming from source.
Okay. Now, would I actually be under the water when I'm visualizing that or not?
Well, that's how I saw you standing
okay.
there. But
okay.
there's nothing wrong with trying both ways.
Yeah.
I believe twice is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Now, have you already applied for a job?
Not a paying one, no.
Where was it that you wanted to go?
What I want to do is get just a job that has flexible hours where I can then do my creative on the side.
And what's the creative on the side?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's doing some, it's actually doing some sewing kind of stuff for preemie babies.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, and you don't want to get paid for it?
I do, but I need to, like, start making things, and you know what I mean? I need...
You've got to put in the time, Charlene, to do some samples, I suppose.
No. I want to go and present the idea.
Okay.
You go present the idea and see if they'll pay you for it.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's even better.
No, you're to go someplace. By next week.
Okay.
And you're to... Where is it that you... There's some place that you've been wanting to go and be. Where is it? It's someplace.
Rebecca, is there a hospital that you've been thinking
yeah,
about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was... I had a preemie son.
You've got to give it to me.
Pardon me?
You've got to tell me what it is.
Tell her the name.
It would be Stanford.
Carolyn, tell me what she said.
Stafford, she said.
Stanford Hospital.
Stafford Hospital.
Stanford.
Am I saying it wrong?
No, I think so, too. What is it?
S-T-A-N-F-O-R-D.
Oh, Stafford.
Stanford, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
She's programming it with that, with the name.
Okay.
And, hey, that's a heck of a good idea. Present the idea and see if they'll finance you from the get-go.
Well, I've already had that idea about, you know, putting all that into action and how I can get into, actually, get into their preemie ward kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I have this feeling that I have to clear out all these stuff in my household.
No.
Okay.
You go and do it by Tuesday of next week.
Okay, and do I need to take in something to them?
Well, just, you can write it down and tell them what you propose.
Oh, okay.
You write down what you propose, tell them what your ideas are, and then you go in there and you present it to them.
Okay.
Give them a copy of it and you keep a copy.
Okay.
Are you being told to do this by Tuesday, Charlene?
Yes.
Okay, I would do it by Tuesday then, Rebecca, and there's something else that I might add to this, and maybe you're planning on doing this anyway, but like the different holidays, like Christmas, like New Year's, like Valentine's Day, that the holiday, that there'd be some reminder in the preemies, little hats or you know, the little tops that would mention the holiday.
Okay.
See, to my point of view, this would be very desirable and unique.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I wanted to tell you that God is sending your angels out ahead of you.
Okay.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay?
Okay, so now...
So they've already been sent out. And so what you want to do is you want to follow through. Now,
okay.
do the junking, I call it de-junking. You can re-evaluate what you want to get rid of in the meantime. Don't wait.
Okay.
Because you've already done a lot.
Right.
Okay, what you're going to do is you can do some more as you go along here.
Okay. Okay.
Okay? Don't wait until it's all done.
Okay, so focus on that rather than trying to get all this stuff out of my house right
now. Yeah, he's saying you're doing it backwards.
Okay, great.
Well, your angels have been sent out, darling. Call us back. Let us know what's going on Tuesday.
I will. And one question. I tried to find Mother Mary on your one of your websites to pray to her, and I wasn't able to locate her. So I'm going to send you an email, okay?
I don't know what you mean, you wanted to find Mother Mary. What does that mean?
On one of your shows, it was in the archive, you had requested that we look at a picture of Mother Mary and get the essence of her. It was when you went to a church, and every 50 years she shows up.
Oh. No, that's not on my website.
Hmm.
But that is a church in Egypt.
Yeah, I thought you said that there might be a picture of Mother Mary on your website. Well,
no, it's not on the website. Just do a search for it.
Okay.
In other words, the Church of, I think it's, I don't have it right here. I think it's, the spelling is Zetouin.
You're right. I have it written down. Okay, I just wanted to check
on
it.
Yeah, no, just do a search. There's a lot of pictures. It's impossible to put all this stuff on the website, but there are, I've been there, and I have pictures of it, and there is a picture. Let me see how I can explain this. In the middle of the church, you look up, and there is like like, you know how the Capitol in the rotunda, it has this
yes,
big,
yes.
Well, that's how it is in this church, and it is the most magnificent picture of Mother Mary, first of all, done up there, and it's very beautiful. But you get the essence right away of Mother Mary being in that church. She is there.
Okay, so it's on their website. I was confused.
Just do
about
a search
that.
For the church,
okay.
And you'll have all kinds of pictures pop up.
Okay, thank you so much, ladies.
You're welcome.
Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, this has been an interesting evening with jobs and changes. So this is fascinating. It's interesting how these things seem to run in a sequence, isn't it, Charlene?
Yes, and they always have. It's just that right now what you're finding is the ones that are the two, like Maria and
Rebecca.
Rebecca, it's just like, see, they really are on a higher dimension of what they want to achieve on a spiritual level.
Oh, we got another caller. Okay. Your name, please.
Oh, it's Dominic from London.
Hello, Dominic.
Hello.
We're going to have to go down to the corner pub and have a little drink together one of these days. What can we do for you, Dominic?
Okay, I'm just for the last 20 years, I've had psoriasis on the scalp and around the heart center.
Interesting place.
Yes, you know,
psoriasis around the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm. And on the scalp.
And where?
The scalp.
The stomach.
Scalp, head.
Oh, the head.
Yeah.
Okay, the head and the heart chakra. He has psoriasis. What can we do about that, Charlene?
Well, let's go in and have God clean it up for you.
Sounds good to me.
We'll have to do it really, you know, let's go in and do it right now.
Yeah, because we can't, we're coming up to the hour.
Right, so let's do that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I should have left it till next week, but...
No. She's going
we'll
in and working on this. Let's do it.
Okay.
Now, we don't believe in waiting around.
Uh-huh.
Has this been a recent thing?
It has been the thing happening for about 20 long years.
Okay, so it comes and goes.
I suppose it's been continuous, but it's not. Sometimes it's not so severe, and sometimes it's quite severe.
Okay.
And, you know, many people have been accusing me of having a dandruff for a good many years, and
mm-hmm.
it's not really fair on me.
Mm-hmm. So it's what people would call a chronic situation. Been with you for a while.
I stopped using, you know, before the doctors gave me this steroid solution to use on the psoriasis, and that just never helped. And I thought, gosh, this is not going to be good for me anyway. And
yeah.
They seem to
love steroids, don't they?
Charlene,
is that you back? No, maybe not. She's still working.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But the last thing I phoned for, I think, basically the fear that I've been suffering from, that has calmed down a lot. The chattering of the mouth has calmed down brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what I want you to do, Dominic, is I want you to feel it on your head.
Feel it on my head.
Put your hand on your head and touch it, is what she's saying.
Okay. So I'm doing that.
Okay, is it getting less?
I suppose I just feel still the remains of rough skin.
Okay, you got rough skin, Dominic, but she's asking you if it has lessened some.
I don't really know. That's a problem.
He can probably see the heart chakra. Should he check that one out, Charlene?
Yeah, I'm doing it on. He's doing it on both.
Okay.
Clearing the past life with the emotion associated with it.
Ah.
Okay,
uh-huh.
And also clearing your ancestral line.
Because they always
come in on your DNA as well.
Yeah, I'm just feeling an energy buzz around my head.
Can you feel the energy in your hand?
Yeah, in my head, yeah. On my head. Gosh. I'm getting all these other kind of energy sensations. And also the energy around the heart center.
Okay.
Beautiful. We probably have a minute and a half.
Wow.
How are we doing, Sterling?
Okay, Dominic, call back next week. We'll do some more on it, okay?
Yeah, call back because we've only got a minute here, Dominic.
Okay, well,
okay,
love to talk
to you.
But
in the meantime, the energy has been shifted for it.
Uh-huh.
And so I do want you to call back next week.
Okay, well, I'll call back as soon as I can.
Okay, dear.
Thank you very much indeed. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Charlene, real quick, darling, give us your phone number so people can reach you privately.
That's right. Okay. 801-944-9346. And if I don't call you back in 48 hours, please call me back because I have so much problems with my machines. When you have energy, you can you kind of bleep out your machines. So please call me if I haven't called you in 48 hours.
And my website, friends, is www.carolynevers.com. Our schedule is up there for February. We are going to do something exciting. We are actually going to be interviewing people on the other side, just like I interview people on the radio station, and Yeshua is going to be, has volunteered to be the first one, so check out my website. Charlene, it's been great, darling.
It went fast.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. You'll be listening to new tracks from my new album Turning Inside right here on BBS Radio, because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Hi, this is inspirational speaker Wambui Bahati, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbs.com.
Hi, Peggy Lee Quayler here. Thanks for listening to Songs from Our Stories Untold album. Copies of the album are available from cdbaby.com/cd/Peggy Lee with an A. And thanks for listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
This is Dr. Richard Boylan. You're listening to BBS Radio.
Do you know where your planets are? Hi, I'm Debs the Horoscopes Lady, and every Wednesday morning, right here on BBS Radio at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, I'll be answering your career and relationship questions using the sidereal difference. What's that? Tune in and find out every Wednesday morning to Debs the Horoscopes Lady.
You're listening to BBS Radio. An internet radio experience of truth, harmony, beauty. From your family at BBS Radio, have yourself a beautiful day.
Hi, this is producer-composer Nelson Ortiz. And you are listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's bbsradio.com.
Hi, this is independent producer-composer Nelson Ortiz. Looking to get away from the same old stuff you hear every day? Get a fresh new sound? And BBS Radio is where it's at. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Hi, this is Mariko May. On behalf of bbsradio.com, I would like to wish you a great day.
Yeah, no, I'm on the air. Hi, how you doing? This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's coming through from the galaxy. But, of course, you got to get the right directions, so we got to have the right vibration. Right vibrations is listening to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences show on bbsradio.com. Okay, I'm ready, go. Where's my ticket for the ship, man?
My name is Michael, and I'm the proud sponsor of the website lawofonecommunity.com. Located in Cochrane, Ontario, is a 50-acre landscape in which the Law of One like-minded individuals are welcome to join and live within one community. Right now, I'm looking for volunteers to assist on the groundbreaking of this new, yet very old, concept of living in spring of 2008. Please take this opportunity to write down our website, lawofonecommunity.com, and visit.
Hi, everybody. This is Xenia Seberg. I am the star of science fiction series Lex, which I'm sure you all still know. And you're listening to CBSRadio.com.
Hi, this is Brentwood from Legion of Love. Just letting you know you can now hear some of our new released and unreleased tracks on our website, legionoflove.com. You can also purchase our EPs, Grey Matter Tunes and Matters of the Heart, as well as all of our singles, including Shine a Light and Love is the Answer, at most major download sites. And of course, you can hear them on BBS Radio, the number one internet radio network in the world. Peace and love.
Hi, everybody. This is Xenia Seaver, and you're listening to Dr. Bell. Well, I forgot to say who I am. Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, keep that done. Be sure and keep that in there. I like those improv. Yeah, go ahead. Especially with a laugh and all that.
Who am I? I just forgot.
Hey everybody, this is Mike Lunibus. You better stick around because this is the best place to be for great country music.
Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X-Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. Your host, Brooks Agnew, believes everything we do will eventually affect the universe. He's trying to do that on purpose each Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the BBS Radio Network. Come where the results are always positive. Explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You'll be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes, and when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell in the Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Tune in or be tuned out.
Hi, this is Derek Rydell, author of the new book, There's No Business Like Soul Business, and founder of EnlightenedEntertainer.com, and you are listening to BBS.
Yeah, no, I'm on the air. Hi, how you doing? This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's coming through from the galaxy. But, of course, you got to get the right directions, so we got to have the right vibration. Right vibrations is listening to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Okay, I'm ready to go. Where's my ticket for the ship, man?
BBSRadio.com.
not mainstream. It could be here. Information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer to truth. BBSRadio.com.
Blending the practical and the mystical, the Emmy Louie Show with host and one.
Welcome. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show with award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile. I'm Julie Dittmar, your guest host for today's show, and this is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And today I am just feeling grateful. I am grateful to Dr. Pat, to Bobby, Ava, Seth, BBS Radio, all the good folks that make these types of shows happen across the airwaves, over the internet, to provide this kind of uplifting inspiration is just such a gift for me and for you and our lives. And I was reflecting on this today and just how wonderful it is that we can listen live and we can go to the archives over and over again on thedrpatshow.com and be re-inspired again and again. So just grateful, just gratitude for all that is. And when I'm not sitting here, sitting in for Dr. Pat, I am a spiritual teacher and intuitive healer with my partner, Matt Kahn. And he's been on the Dr. Pat Show a few times. And our company is True Divine Nature. And what we always say is that we awaken people to their true divine nature. And we do this in our own unique way through satsangs and chants and energy healing. It's all about the energy. And today our guest is Gina Salah. And she shares a similar passion and mission, she says, but she does it in her own unique, beautiful way, which is singing us awake to who we are. Singing us awake to who we are. And if you've never encountered her voice before, you are in for a real, real treat today, because her gift is her singing. One of her many gifts is her singing. And she just has the voice of an absolute angel.
Ramanarayanam, Achyutam Keshuvam, Ramanarayanam.
Oh, and there you have it. Gina Salah, vocalist, composer, sound healer. Beautiful, beautiful voice. I've experienced her voice recorded and live, and each time I keep telling her it's beyond the human form. It's beyond the voice. It's exotic and it's rich and it's layered and it's amazing. And her love of the human voice has taken her just all over the world, performing and studying many, many, many places. And she'll tell us a little bit about that today. And she's also had the very distinguished honor of being at the U.S. Pentagon, performing at the U.S. Capitol in front of the United Nations folks, and was the principal singer for Cirque du Soleil's O. And she has a repertoire spanning 23 languages. And having traveled with her to India, I have seen her use these languages on the street with the folks in India. And she's just an absolute amazing voice, amazing and delight, amazing human being. We are delighted to have you join us on the Dr. Pat Show today, Gina. So thank you. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Julie. It's my pleasure. And I would say you are just as bright and wonderful as anyone you see. Thank you so much.
We all are, as the earth angels that we are. And we all just come with our different talents and different abilities. So how would you like to start today? I was contemplating this, and I was thinking, well, we usually start everything with an ohm. What would you like the invocation to be for today's show?
Oh, invocation. What a wonderful idea, taking the formless into form.
Mm.
Yeah, we could do an Om Shanti 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 He since we just heard it sung. How about that?
How about that?
Together?
We can do this.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bringing in the vibrations and bringing in the energy and a sacred feel and a sacred start. So thank you. So we spoke the other day, and I wanted to check in with you because I know that you said that you've had some losses in your life recently, and you said that your heart was feeling a little soft and a little tender, and wanted to see how you were doing. And with your training, with your career as a singer and someone who chants and leads people through the healing of chant, what do you do in a time like this for yourself? Do you find yourself expressing more through chant, or do you find yourself getting quiet?
Nice question. You know, the way I see it is, as you know, right, the heart feels everything whether or not we allow it to express.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a big swell of emotion, we can certainly just allow ourselves to sit with it and feel it. But at a certain point, what I find is there's a reason that when we're in pain, we make a sound, or when we're in joy, we make a sound. It helps move the energy and move the energy through the body. So you're talking about some the death of a couple of people that I know that you're talking is what Julie's mentioning. And what I find is I do both. I get quiet, I
mm-hmm.
listen within. For me, sounding and singing is as much a listening activity as it is an active sort of sounding out activity. So there's the sounded sound, what they call the ahat, or the struck sound, meaning sound literally made by two things hitting it, see, like your vocal cords. And then there's the anahat sound, the sound you hear within. So what I do in that case is I'll often, number one, I try to really stay in my body.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is to really stay present, in touch with my body. Otherwise, I can spin off into stories, into thoughts. And while that might be interesting, it doesn't necessarily provide the healing that I want to allow energy to move through and integrate the emotions in the body, through the heart, through the mind, through the whole aspects of this human body, mind, personality I call Gina.
Right? Yes.
So what I like to do is I sort of get the news, I feel it. And then often what I find, especially if it's sad news, is I don't actually have much to express right away. But if I'm feeling, rather than let that stagnate, I might sit quietly for quite some time if I have the time. Or if I don't have the time, like that particular day I was quite busy, I make an appointment with myself to my heart, say yes, yes, yes. And I make a special time to sit. And then I'll sit down with an instrument, or if there's no instrument, I'll sway something to provide a container for my voice. So container can be rhythm, or it can be a drone, or it can be a song. And I just start inviting the voice to express. And out of that comes so much clarity. I also do that if I'm indecisive or unclear about something.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so often, right, my mind is the last to know. The mind wants to take credit for everything. I decided to do this because of that, or I'm having, you know, it claims to know everything. But really, I think of it often like the caboose, where there's some heart knowing that decides intuitively to do something or draws me in a certain direction, and then the mind says, well, obviously it was for this reason.
Well, absolutely, and with someone leaving our lives, I think our minds just naturally go to the place of review and stay a lot in the past of the memories and the experiences or the what-ifs in, you know, what-ifs of the future, what I could have done, what I could have said, and then there are no longer those opportunities, and so it's, I think, challenging for our minds to be present, and so when you're moving and you're swaying and you're chanting and you're sounding, it's much more of a way to feel.
Yeah, and in fact, it's not such a new idea, right? Every mother knows when their child cries to hold it, to shake it, to move, and to sing. It's something that naturally, because everything is vibration, our bodies, if you just look on the rhythm of, there's the rhythm of breath, the rhythm of the heartbeat, the organs secreting, all of these different rhythms happening in the body. And then, of course, on a molecular level, everything which looks like a very solid object is mostly empty space looking solid because of the vibration. So what I find is we entrain with a certain rhythm, whether we start with a movement or whether we give our body something to entrain to create some sense of order and connection. Chanting does that really well. The voice does it. Our one's own voice, I believe, is the one's best, or I should say some of the most powerful medicine. And every culture uses it for that. Every culture in the world that I've been around or studied uses the voice as medicine.
See, that's the thing about you, is you're so amazing in what you bring together in your music. You have the technique, you have the tools that you impart to your students and your audiences, but you also bring through these amazing teachings and life wisdom. So if you could share with us a little bit about how that came to be in Gina Salah, how that comes together in your life from your musical training and background around the world, and you had the opportunity to sit with Papaji during his lifetime, and how that influenced these messages that you're giving us even today.
Oh, okay, thanks. Well, you know, I don't actually, to be honest, I don't know how it all works, but I do know that within a couple of years of being born, I was sitting quite often with an Indian chief, an Indian medicine man named Abe, and he would tell stories. And then about a year after that, around age 3, I was in a Hindu ashram up in Canada, and at that ashram, there was a lot of chanting and a lot of swamis. It's a Yashodhara ashram in the Kootenays, based on Swami Sivananda's lineage. So Swami Sivananda sent a Western Swami, Swami Sivananda Radha, out to teach the principles, love, give, serve, meditate, realize, principles of awakening in the West. And at that time, there was a Swami, very famous, well-known, still today, quite well-known, although he's passed on, named Swami Nada Brahmananda. And he used to come to the ashram and teach us. So my very first training was with some amazing teachers. I would say my first sort of voice stuff was with this medicine man who would tell us stories and sing us songs, which was interesting because even my parents weren't that interested. He would just come anyway. And then secondly, then with these swamis. At the time, my brother was in school. My mother was there, but she was also busy. And so I had a lot of one-on-one time with the swamis. And then growing up, like any kid, I actually lived out in the country, so I had a lot of time just singing and hanging out by myself with my animals and at the river, singing a lot at the river. I grew up Catholic and Protestant, so I sang in churches and had, you know, some definite challenges growing up, including asthma, actually. So singing was one way that I would know that I could breathe. It was a way to calm my nervous system and calm my mind and to express in an environment where I didn't feel like I could express everything. So I would say it was a combination of great early teachers and challenges that brought me this sort of respect and passion for the voice.
Which is just absolutely amazing, because all the times I've seen you perform and sing, and you and I have known each other for several years. We've got, we're both from Seattle right now, and have been involved in the interfaith community here, very strong interfaith community, and you've been at the Bumbershoot festivals, and it's, you know, Gina Salah is all over town, and every time I've ever seen you perform, I never would have had a hint, a clue, that that asthma was a part of your life at all, because you have such power in your voice and such, I don't want to say control, but I would just never, that would never enter my mind.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of surprising things, right? Another one is that when I was, you know, I think I was 10th grade or something, auditioning for a school play. It was The Wizard of Oz, and I think I was the only person not given a singing part at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because when I came to sing, like many of you experienced, I'm sure, I got totally nervous, and the song that I could sing perfectly well at home, my throat got tight, my chest got tight, and it went somewhere. And as soon as I heard myself squawk, it was all over. Then it was completely, I squeaked it out and slunk away, and they're like, yeah, next, you get the non-speaking part. And in fact, I remember I had to wear a gray leotard and be a rock in the poppy field in my little undeveloped body at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but what to me I think is the great thing about sort of the benevolence of the universe is it takes someone like me, gives me this experience, which becomes a great story for people who think, well, you don't understand because you could always sing. I went from that, where I couldn't even get a simple, like, be one of the Munchkins singing part, to later on being the lead singer for one of the biggest shows in the world and one of the biggest shows in terms of audition, people wanting to audition for it.
And would that be the Cirque
du Soleil? It was the Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, Cirque du Soleil.
But so what's so interesting about that for me is no matter what we think our abilities are compared to someone else, we don't really know what's possible, right? We don't know what's possible. I believe that we each have our, as you know, Julie, you talk about this, I know, but whatever it is that we care about, what we're passionate about, usually it's based on something that's been a challenge, but also a direct experience that works for us.
Yes. I thought you were going to say that your challenge was you being shy, and I thought, don't you dare tell us that you were shy.
I was very shy, and in fact, so here's an interesting
thing.
I've done those Myers-Briggs tests a few times
in
organizations that I'm part of. Every time, I'm complete introvert.
Wow.
And yet, my job, as you know, is I'm out there teaching all the time, several times a week.
Yes.
I'm a performer. I empower other people to sing. So it's sort of like when your calling is stronger stronger than the apparent limitation.
Well, and you lead kirtan. You're a kirtanwala, and you are the focus of the entire band, the entire group. It's like you sit there with your harmonium. You start pumping away on that harmonium. And how tall are you? 5'2", which is about what I am. And it's like we are these tiny little people that are just like power-packed with you know, so much energy. You and I and Matt and just go and go and go and go. And when you sit there with your harmonium and you have this smile on your face, this inner radiance going, and you start pumping away on that, and this huge voice comes out. I mean, people who've never seen that before are probably just, you know, shocked beyond belief. And then it's just infectious because everyone just totally gets into the groove. And you've got people who, you know, grew up with Catholic and Protestant backgrounds who are chanting Hindu chants and enjoying it like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I find perhaps there's a couple of reasons for that. One is when we sing in a language that we're not accustomed to, we often don't have the social constraints or the baggage, actually, about what's possible with our voices. So we have a certain freedom there. And secondly, the chants that we're singing are mainly mantras. And mantras are syllables that regardless of what you believe in terms of, I actually don't really have I don't mind what someone's spiritual path is. I know that which is divine is bigger than any particular name we have, and we're all called to the right spiritual path. But the mantras themselves, just like herbs, have a certain effect. Mantras have a certain effect. And these mantras are certain sacred sounds, sacred syllables, that are really tried and true, able to create a strong vibration which calms the vibration of thought of the mind. So what they do is they provide a strong resonance, a strong vibration, so that the mind can rest. And as you know, when the mind rests, pretty much the problems disappear.
Absolutely. I mean, I read an interview once with Krishna Das,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about when he went over to the ashrams of India, and he was there, and he was learning to chant, and he did these mantras over and over again, 15 minutes, 18 minutes of the same thing over and over again. He's like, I was bored out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, wait a minute, out of my mind.
Yeah.
And he totally got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, once I sunk into that place of, wow, the mind's out of the way. Yes, it's very repetitive. It's very much like rocking. It's like we talked about at the beginning, very much like that rocking, that swaying. It's very repetitive and and gets, you know, you and everything else about you out of the way so you can sink deeper into that open heart space and some peace and relaxation in your life.
Yeah.
Some joy. It opens, we like to say, Matt and I like to say, opens the doorway of the heart to let out what needs to be let out and to invite and bring in more joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's how I see it. I also feel like, you know, the mind is this really, really hardworking servant that's always trying to help and always trying to come up with some solution. And I'm really glad it does, because otherwise I wouldn't know whose teeth to brush and how to balance my checkbook. But at a certain point, it just deserves a rest. And it's really hard for overworking minds to know how to rest. So it's like give them something to rest into, which is the mantra. And mantra, by the way, man comes from the Sanskrit root mind. And tra comes from tre, for freeing. So to free oneself from the mind so that who we really are, which is already radiant joy, radiant love, the peace within, peace that passes understanding, can actually shine. You know, in the same way that, you know, the cloud might cover the moon, but it doesn't actually touch the moon. The moon is fine.
Yes.
So it's the same.
So before you go into kirtan, I don't want to say performance, because it's not really a performance. It's a kirtan experience of the call and response chanting back and forth. What do you do? Always wanted to know this. What do you do moments before you arrive at the yoga studio to sit down with us for kirtan? Are you doing anything probably vocal warm-ups or something to get yourself in the mindset and the place, because you've probably been coming from wherever you've been coming from, doing whatever you've been doing, whereas we just show up and we get in that place by doing the kirtan with you. So
mm-hmm.
as the leader of it, how does that work the moments before you arrive with us?
Mm. Well, you know, for me, it's a combination of different things. I always check in with the body, with the instruments. So if the instrument's tight, if my body's tight, I might do some moving, some shaking, some lip bubbles, like some yawning. But really the main thing is, I mentioned earlier that I was shy growing up, and I often, before
No, everyone's going to yawn now.
Yeah, go ahead and yawn. Yawning is your friend. Yawning releases the soft palate, helps lubricate the vocal apparatus. But what I find is, you know, so I'll just finish. After I grew up, and in the ways that I did, I ended up living in Tokyo and walking through the Himalayas, collecting songs, and then studying with a lot of different sound healers and people from different parts of the world. And what I found is common to all of these traditions is, for one, there's always something that you do every time, a way, like you did today, an invocation to get in. For me, my invocation, in addition, is I sort of touch and greet my body a little bit, my chest. I might bounce. I just really feel. I scan my whole body as if, hello, there's my head, my chest, my neck, my face.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, Gina, because I I want to make sure that people know about your website and go there, because there, I think there were actually clips on your website.
Yeah.
Or on YouTube that had that.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I greet the body with kindness, with love and affection, because everything opens to love and kindness. I mean, flowers, plants, animals, spiders,
yes,
your voice. So I make it my practice to counteract any other idea that might come across, if this is the beloved instrument of the divine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's get people experiencing this. And, in fact, they can go there right now with us to GinaSala.com.
Mm-hmm.
G-I-N-A-S, as in Sam, S-A-L-A, GinaSala.com.
Yeah.
And you've got your calendar there so people can follow you and your adventures around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to Egypt this year.
Mm-hmm.
And India later this year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I lead sound study tours, as you know. You came on one.
I did.
Yeah, every year.
We were chanting, we were riding camels and bathing in the Ganges River.
Mm-hmm.
Holy, holy.
Yeah. So if anybody ever has the desire to experience the sacred vibration of India and the real India, where we get in beyond sort of snap a picture, it's a great tour to come on.
And you know some of the most incredible people there, just, you know, some really warm, beautiful human beings that their hearts and their faces are forever in my mind and my heart. As I look back at my photos and I remember the chants with you, and it was just such an amazing sound healing experience to be at the birthplace of some of the chants that we experienced was beyond words. It truly was beyond words, and I think I ran out of adjectives for India on day two.
It's true. It does feel like, I remember day three, it just feels like you've already been there 2 weeks in terms of how much you experience, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that people go check out the multimedia part of your website as well, because that is where you have videos, and you've got lots of YouTube clips and the most gorgeous photos I think I've ever seen of you ever, ever, ever.
Oh, hallelujah.
I don't know where you had, I think some of these are at the Ganges, aren't they?
You know, I have to look. Probably so.
Because you're all dressed in a sari and...
Oh, you know where that is, Julie? That is Rishikesh, right next to where we were every morning, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We would wake up and we would greet the river and we would sing to her and...
Yeah.
And you taught us the Gayatri mantra that we did 108 times in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were at the cave where the Gayatri mantra was born.
Yes.
So it's a really great time. Yeah, if you're interested, check out GinaSala.com. Give me a call. Everybody's welcome, especially if anyone's been called to India. You know, it's got a transformational vibration there, a powerful chance to not only because you leave your regular pattern of life, so anytime we go to something that's completely outside of our norm, we're going to have some transformation or some new perspective. Couple that with this powerful vibration and the people we meet and the practice of chant and the sights. It's powerful, as I'm sure you'll attest.
Absolutely, and it was one of those things, because Matt, my partner, was with me as well, and we both, at the end of the trip, were like, we'd follow Gina anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's nice.
Because you really know how to create sacred space wherever we go, whether we were on a train or a taxi or a, you know, whatever kind of transportation, and, you know, and just however we were when we got to where we were going, just landing there and helping us truly be there and to have the fullest and richest experience that we possibly could have with, you know, the people that you know and the new friends that we met along the way. It was beautiful. So definitely check out GinaSala.com and the tours and the teaching. Are you doing a lot of teaching these days?
I do a lot of individual sessions. I have one more Tuesday night class in my Tuesday series. If you check out the website, there's a lot coming up. But I will be out of town a fair amount in the spring, so I'll have some classes when I'm in town. I'm also taking a short sabbatical to work on some recordings. So,
yay, hallelujah, yay.
But definitely, I have some things coming up in April, too, and I have some things, you know, I have one or two things in February and March. So
we want some Gina recordings.
Thank you, yeah.
Definitely. And you have such a beautiful song that is truly your very own, and I would love to hear the inspiration for it. It was Because the One I Love Lives Inside of You.
Yeah, you know, that song was born. You know, what I find is when I allow myself to connect in the heart, then songs become born. So that song actually is inspired by a poem, a version of Hafez, translated by Daniel Ladinsky. And in fact, he wrote me a letter saying, you go for it.
Yeah.
Because it's different than his version a bit. But it was really just seeing somebody and wanting them to know that they're completely beloved and whole. And of course, the human part of Gina always needs the reminder too, right?
Yes.
So it really just came through as a reminder to the humanity in us of our ultimate divinity. But it came through specifically when I was just thinking of somebody who seems to have forgotten their brilliance.
Can you share a couple lines with us?
Sure, I just walked over to my altar.
Oh, so nice.
Because the one I love lives inside of you, I lean as close to you as I can. Because the one I love lives inside of you, I lean as close to you as I can. And then it always goes into, I love you, 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 just as you are. I love you, 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 just as you are. It goes back into Because the One I Love lives inside of you, I lean as close to you as I can. And I would say that that sums up the whole essence, the whole passion and purpose I have for being on this planet, is to see the divine in everyone. Because when I do that, then the heart opens, and true remembrance, you know, is here.
Ah, Gina. I have shivers, and I'm practically in tears just listening.
Mm.
It's that's the beauty of the voice and the beauty of music, is that it goes straight to the heart and just evokes emotion.
Yeah.
And so whatever needs to be released, whatever needs to be felt, it's like just all ripe and juicy, and just the right note can just make it burst and bloom.
It's true, isn't it? So let's try and experiment. It just occurs to me in this moment, since I'm sitting here over at my altar.
You're going to make me cry more?
You big open heart. But I just thought, here we are talking, right, Julie, you and I, and talking about experiences. And I already told some story earlier about being, you know, trying out for a play. A lot of us probably had a teacher or someone tell us we couldn't sing. But what's the difference if I sing? So I'm just going to, right now a story has popped into my head. Notice how it's different if I sing it. And this is one thing I do in my workshops and classes with people, is I help them find their voice in a way to use the voice that's not just like a data technician expression, but in a way, whether they're speaking or singing, to connect to the emotion behind it and to help find heart songs. This isn't exactly a heart song, but I'm going to just try and experiment, which I'm just trying with you, just like you. I'm here not knowing what it'll be.
Absolutely.
Right.
Go for it, our listeners, and we're ready.
So here I was walking through the Himalayas, all by myself, as I had done for several months. And once in a while, the monkeys would steal my only food. It changed my view of monkeys for a while. And I was praying. And it wasn't just because I was lost on yak trails, which did happen, so I overstayed my visa for a couple of months. Because I felt like being on my own. But the very first day when I left the monastery where I had been living, it was a Tibetan monastery. And I went walking up into the Himalayas. I had my Sony Walkman to collect songs. And it wasn't even for the most magnificent reason that I was off to collect songs. I was in love with someone and it was going to be a gift. And there was an old man and a young boy who were following me. And someone had warned me people were dangerous in the Himalayas. And they said, you better be careful, they'll rip you off, you can't walk as a woman alone. Watch out for the opium bandits, you can't do it, you will be in danger. So when I stopped each time, because it was all uphill that very first day, I would sit down and the old man and the boy who was about 13 would stop too. And I'm not exactly proud to say it, but I would glare at them as strongly as I could. Like, get away, leave me alone, cello, go on your merry way. And they would look at me with their big eyes, and they would not move away. They'd just sit there until I decided to get up again, and then they'd follow me again. This went on for about 8 hours, I would say. And no matter how rude I was or how much I glared, they still followed. When we reached the top of where I was trying to go, I reached a little hut, and they gave me some water. And at that moment, the old man and the boy, they took a sip of water from the people in the hut, and then they went trotting back down the mountain at sunset. And there was a young boy, we were only a day's walk out of Kathmandu, and he spoke a little English. This was 1992. And I said, hey, where are they going? It's getting dark, and why did they come here? And he said, Baini, oh sister, they only came to make sure you'd be safe. They said you started to get lost at the beginning, and they wanted to make sure you knew the way. And so even though I was spending all that time thinking these self-defensive thoughts and glaring at them, they never turned away. And at that time, I knew I was protected. I knew I was guided. And it became the most amazing several months just in the divine vibration. And my obstinance and defensiveness were still there. And in that light of their love, they became exposed and melted away. It reminds me of a song that came to me the other day about how you can trust that which you know is loving all the time, and you can lay back in the arms of love, lay back in the arms of love, rest back in the arms, you are safe from harm. Rest back in the arms of love. And so since that day, my intuition has gotten so much clearer, and I feel so guided and protected all the time. And even if I forget this song which came through my heart one day, rings in my head to remind me it's all right. And we can lay back in the arms of, lay back in the arms of love. Rest back in the arms, we are safe from harm. Rest back in the arms of love.
Oh, and that, my dear, is Gina Salah. That, folks, Gina Salah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, what a treat. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Do you notice, though, how different it is if I sing the story than if I just speak it?
Absolutely.
Isn't it amazing? The voice is such a powerful conveyor of that which is beyond just idea, that which is imagery and emotion and spirit. And
Well, it brought back for me immediate memories of our India travels, because you sang check-ins with the group, because there were about 10 of us on the group, which was just a perfect size. It was great, and sometimes they're a little larger and smaller, and that was what our group was, and it was joyful and fun and sad and great check-ins with stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you had us check in with song.
Yeah, I remember you doing it too.
So we brought our voices in, and we told stories of our day and our adventures. We check in the afternoon after we'd been out and having life adventures, or evening check-in.
Yeah.
And chant in the evening, and it was a fun way to do it. And
you may remember at the beginning of the trip, several people were like, "No way am I singing in front of people." But by the end, it became something that everyone wanted to do. So there's never any pressure. But
yeah.
What we find is when the voice frees up, when we find more freedom in the voice, our whole being feels more free. So the way to do it isn't to push someone into it and make them, but...
No, it's just the beauty of the expression of that. It's
yeah.
just so, so, so great. So thank you for sharing that with us. And in that way, what a tremendous gift. So we have a few moments left, and I have just a couple of other quick questions I wanted to get to, and just reminding people again, reminding our listeners that it's GinaSalah.com. You can hear other clips and see other clips of her songs and her work and her stories and her teachings and tours and all the great things that Gina's up to. And I'm wondering, as you're up to all these things, what are you working on this year, personally, spiritually, vocally?
You know, boy, that's a good question, isn't it?
We're all working on something, and I mean, it's sometimes it's you know what I'm working on today, or what I'm working on, you know, this month or this year, this life.
I would say, for me, it would probably be. In Indian classical music, I do sing in a lot of languages, and I love the rhythm and the rootiness of African and some of the, like, passionate of the Eastern European. But there is something about structure which provides a lot of freedom. I know in jazz, for example, what gives the jazz musicians a lot of chance to improvise is that there's a set structure of chords. And in myself, because I tend to be very much in the moment, very much in flow, I'm realizing how much freedom I can have by setting structure. So, oddly enough, what my personal practice right now is to have a lot more structure, which is a little counterintuitive when what I'm wanting is more of the creativity and the freedom. But I'm talking about sort of getting up at more of a regular schedule, because as a musician, I can sort of have my early morning 7:30 sound checks if I'm singing at a Center for Spiritual Living or something, 7 o'clock sound check actually. And then I might be out late like I was this week, you know, the very same day or the next day at a gig in the evening. So I'm working on setting very clear structures for my own practices and working within structure artistically and creatively as well, just as a sort of experiment in how to create and set structures for myself. I'm not saying that's what everyone should do, but because it's actually my challenge, that's what I'm playing with right now.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that will serve you well.
Yeah.
And as you grow and flourish and bring what you're bringing to the masses even more so, because I know you said you were going to be doing some more recording this year.
Yeah, I've got, who did I tell that to? I feel like a pregnant mom with, like, quintuplets.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, so I've got a lot of different projects. I have some teaching CDs and DVDs. I've got some original CDs and some very traditional mantra and such recordings that I'm ready to put out there.
Well, these are recordings of your own because you have been, you know, the voice of Cirque du Soleil, and the you've been on so many other recordings with Dean Evanson and Scott Huckabee and Soundings of the Planet recordings, Sonic Tribe, and all these different things. But these are truly going to be your babies.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I really am. It's actually funny, too, because I had done some voices for a compilation that a lot of ad agencies use. So my voice is on some commercials, too, and it'll be so nice to have my voice just on the recordings here. I don't really mind. There's, I think, a SeaWorld and a Canon commercial and things like this, but it's so nice to have. I'm just really looking forward to sinking into the recording. I just totally adore it and love it. And I'll do some of the recording in India and some of it here.
Well, it's such a nice thing because it just, it goes on and almost takes on a life of its own without us. And with CDs or whatever kind of recording and playing devices that are coming down the line with technology, it's something that just lives on and on and on and on and on. So you do the work once, but I don't think you can ever possibly know how far and wide that will reach and how many lives and the ways that it will touch people's lives.
Yeah. And my big hope really is, you know, one of my passions, although I love artistically sharing and writing, is, you know, as you know, my passion is singing us awake to who we are, which means our creativity also. So, you know, especially for people who think they can't sing or that there's something wrong with their voice, I just so hope that they get some comfort and peace out of the recording, some inspiration out of the wackiness of some of them, some inspiration out of what's possible in one voice. And then if there ever a question, that they just come, whoever you are. This caravan knows no despair. So come to a class, come to a workshop, come to an individual session, because I've seen lives just be completely transformed by the experience of realizing, after all, so many years, a lifetime, that a part of themselves that they thought was less than.
Well, and you are way too modest, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. Come sit with Gina. Come sit and have the experience of what Gina Salah will do with your brain and do with your heart and will bring out of you in a way that you didn't even know was possible, because, you know, we all have things that we're working through around voice and sound and expression in that way, and there's so much beauty in what you do that you bring out in others, and it's so great to experience.
Oh, thank you, Julie.
So what is one last little bit of advice or message that you would like to leave us with today for singing ourselves awake to who we are?
You know what I would say? Just sing. Take 3 minutes a day for a week and sing to yourself. Take 3 or 5 minutes. It can be in the shower. But give your chance, or just hum. Humming does all kinds of things. It actually helps bring the brain into modulate the brainwave frequencies. It helps increase your listening ability, your focusing abilities. So hum or sing for a few minutes every day, just even by yourself, and see what happens. Or, of course, consider coming to a class or workshop if you're in my area or I'm in your area.
Absolutely, and you are all around the globe. So, Gina Salah, thank you so much for joining us on the Dr. Pat Show today.
Thank you so much, Julie.
And again, it's GinaSalah.com. Check that out. Learn more about Gina and more about yourselves in the process and the beauty of your own rich, unique voice. So thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Dr. Pat for letting me share this time with you. I'm Julie Dittmar, and until next time, wishing you a beautiful awakening to your true divine nature.